All right. Send the greetings to you this morning in Jesus' name. Glad to be back here with you this morning. Had a nice trip to Mexico and met some brethren and bring their greetings back to you. Oliver also from the Philippines, talked with him last night. He wished to extend his greetings to everyone. So pray for these brethren. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just want to offer our prayers and thanksgiving unto thee, O Lord. Thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy, your kindness to us. Father, we just pray that you would help us as we open your word to see the simplicity, Father, of following Jesus. Lord, that we might be true disciples of our King and Master. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you've done for us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to start out by making sister's job easy this morning with a title, Heaven or Hell? Heaven or Hell? Every week we have the message, and it seems to be trying to figure out what we're going to name it. We'll just start out this morning and have a name already. Do things upside down. Heaven or hell? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Verse
31.
When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. I want to just kind of go through this one verse at a time here for a little bit. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. People often want to figure out prophecy and how things are going to happen. And they talk about the rapture. And they talk about the tribulation. And they talk about, and they try to separate the judgments. I want you to just look. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. This is Jesus speaking, Matthew chapter 25. These are red letters. I believe the red letters mean more than the black ones. That's going to throw a kink in a lot of people's ideas about the Bible. But I put an emphasis on what Jesus said. He is the Son of God. He is the Lamb that was slain. He is the one that we follow. The others are great helps to us. They're guides. They're wise men. But it's Christ that we follow. And the first thing that any of them would ever tell you is put your authority in what Jesus said. The prophets have a lot to teach us. They have a lot to guide us. But what Jesus said prevails above all. He is the one that is coming in His glory. He is the one that is going to sit down on the throne and you and I are going to stand before. He is the one that says, come and follow me. The others say, follow me as we follow him. And there's nothing wrong with following or learning from a man that's following Jesus. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Other verses talk about this coming, that He's coming in flaming fire. What a glorious thing. One says He's coming on a white horse in Revelation. Can you imagine a king appearing on a big white horse? In his greatness, leading the battle. Not a king with dainty hands, but a king that's a leader in battle. That's a leader. A king that came and put into practice being a man. Not just some dainty little royalty that dresses in a fine suit. But a king. A real king. Coming in flaming fire, and all the people of the world, great and small, will hide themselves or try to hide from Him. But there will no place be found. Men will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on Him. Fall on them so that they won't have to look upon Him. Verse 32, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He's going to wade right out through them, and He's going to divide them. All the nations will be gathered. That means everybody. Every man, woman, boy, and girl are going to come face to face with Him, and He's going to put you in one pen or the other. We sort cattle sometimes, and we pick out the good ones, and we sort them off of the bad ones, and put the good ones in one pen or the bad ones in another. And Jesus is going to do the same thing, just like a man would separate sheep from the goats. And He's going to be able to tell a sheep from a goat. There's not going to be anybody saying, "I'm a sheep that looks like a goat." There's not going to be anybody that says, "Oh, I'm on Jesus' side and look like the world." He'll know which side we're on. "And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left." There's going to be a clear division on the right hand and the left. "Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What a thought. Those that are counted worthy to be on His right hand, that are separated from the others. And then He turns to those on the right hand and says, "Come ye, blessed of my Father." Welcome, you blessed of the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Heaven or hell? One side, He looks and says, "Welcome, come to heaven." "For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and He came unto me." "Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we an hungered? When saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the King shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Ye have done it unto me. Thank you. Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and for his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Heaven or hell? He did not ask them, if you were to die tonight and stand before God, what would you tell him? What would you say? He didn't ask them that. He didn't ask them for, well, let's see, what did you believe about me, and I want to hear a good theological explanation about who I am and what I did and why I came into the earth. When it came right down to it, and this is Jesus speaking, this is not me. You can divide this up and say, well, this is after the tribulation, or this is after the rapture, or this is that, or this is this. Jesus didn't say anything about that. He said whenever he returns in all of his glory, I'm going to set like a judge, and I'm going to bring all the nations before me like sheep and goats, and I'm going to look at their lives, and I'm going to remember the times that they found someone that would not ever be able to repay them back for what they did. And whether they took the time to go take care of their needs or to help them, or whether they were just too busy. And he's going to say, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. It's about a king. A king that I believe sometimes might even disguise himself and come and be right among us today. Some people that we might just walk right past might just be the Lord. Sitting in some humble body. Bible says in Hebrews to be careful to entertain strangers, because sometimes you might just be entertaining an angel and not even know it. You know, I think God has sent some people here . Maybe they're just angels. They look like us. They act like us. Their purpose is just to see what we're going to do with them, to how we would treat them. Sends devils that way that entice us. Certainly people living as devils that would draw us away from God. But he says that he's going to send angels. Paul tells us to be sure and entertain them. We might just be entertaining the Lord and taking them in. Heaven or hell? This just goes against all of the theology today. Of people just saying, I'm saved. He didn't ask them whether they were saved or not. He looked at their lives and how they were living. There's verses that say if you do such things, you're going to go to hell. And the righteous are going to enter into life eternal. I don't know that there's anything more dangerous or presumptuous than people. You know, sometimes they accuse us whenever we're preaching about, oh, what will people think? They'll just think you're so much better than everyone else is because you're trying to show them what's wrong. You're just setting yourself up as being somebody that's so much more righteous than everybody else. Well, I'm sorry they see it that way. That's not why we're doing it. Better not be why we're doing it. And yet, these same people would look at a righteous man doing what's right, and because he doesn't say, well, I know I'm saved, and they'll stick their thumbs in their shirts and say, I know I'm saved, whether they live righteous or not. How presumptuous that is. If you'll read the Old Testament, the only sin that there wasn't an offering for, there was no forgiveness for, was the sin of presumption. David prayed, Lord, keep me from presumptuous sins. Lord said, many will be in that day that say, Lord, Lord, haven't we been saved? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. These righteous were probably scared to death that they hadn't done enough. And these goats were so proud of themselves, they thought they had done everything they needed to do. But they found themselves on the way to hell being cursed by the Lord. And the righteous were offered eternal life. Heaven and hell. Throw your doctrine out and start listening to Jesus. Forget your doctrines. How to go to heaven. Four easy steps. Follow Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Believe Jesus. A righteous man will scarcely enter heaven with many fears of hell. A hypocrite will enter into hell with many false hopes of heaven. Heaven or hell? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Corinthians, capítulo 3, Bible talks about versículo 11 y 14, 15, 11 through 15. The Bible talks about building a foundation on Jesus. The foundation on Jesus is he that heareth my words and doeth them. And it says on that foundation you can either build wood, hay, or stubble. Or you can build gold, silver, and precious stones. The wood, hay, and stubble are going to be burned. Many people are concerned about that. Many people use that for eternal security, that, yeah, we wasted our life, we lived and were ungodly in this world, but we still had our foundation correct. And I won't get any prizes when I go to heaven, but I'm going to still be there. You're a liar and you're lying to yourself. The It's in talking about whether you're going to heaven or hell or not. It's talking about what you've done. There's people that are doing things and they've had their reward because other people could see. Those things may look like wood, hay, and stubble. They may look like they're a big, big pile of stuff to the world. But when it comes right down to it, you've got all the reward you're going to get out of it. It's only what's going to pass through the fire that's going to result in any reward. Let me break it down to you. The woman that cast in her two mites. All the other people were casting in of their abundance. Things that just extra. What was left over. Plenty of room to give to the Lord. And they gave a big part of their abundance of what was left over. Wood, hay, and stubble. The poor widow put in her two mites. And Jesus said, she's put in more than all of you. Because she gave of her very living. It cost her something. It cost what was taking her to survive to put in. These people he's talking about helping. It's not just your extra time. It's the time when it costs you something that it's going to pay you something. Everything else is just standard duty. It's just doing what's expected. If you want to lay up treasures in heaven, it's going to cost you something on this earth. To receive your life, you have to lose your life. To gain anything in heaven is going to cost you something. How many times something we need to do and something pops up and it costs us. It costs us. Heaven or hell? This world's going to pass away. Wood, hay, and stubble. It's hard to sacrifice a good day. To help someone that hardly ever has a good day. sometimes I don't know how many of you, I know you all have heard of her, Vanna. Died this week. Don't have any more opportunities. Just go say hi to her. Just go spend a little time with her. But I don't know of anyone else, as far as I know around, of a better case. Someone who could never repay you for just a little time spent with her. Don't know of anyone, hardly. That suffers as much as she did in this life. Laying there with the same kind of mind you have. The same kind of mind. The same mind that needs and wants and loves to be doing something and thinking about something good and has plans and dreams and hopes. Laying there trapped in a body that she cannot even control. Not being able to talk. Not being able to communicate. Not being able to control herself. But saying it with the same mind and same feelings. Same ideas and wishing she could do something just like you and I. Not being able to. If she said thank you, you wouldn't even understand it. The world doesn't even know she exists. They've got her stuck away in some little room somewhere. And there's all kinds of them. We'll look for them. Was she just an angel? Was she just an angel? I don't know. Heaven or hell? I'm going to heaven because I've got all my theology straightened out. I'm going to heaven because I'm dressing right. I'm going to heaven because I'm doing a lot of good things. I'm not doing a lot of bad things. Every time we read what Jesus said about heaven or hell, or about when he judges people, it's going to be according to their works, whether they were good or evil. Don't let the world trip you up with all their theology. Learn to put your Christianity into shoe leather. Even though it might cost you the best part of the day sometime. Might cost you your lunch hour. Remember the poor. It's what the apostles told Paul when they sent him off to preach. Remember to help those. We have to remind ourselves. We hear people throw these verses around a lot. While they're living in sin, they're helping someone and they justify themselves. It's not what it's about. God still requires holiness, but this is just a part of it. Merciful. Kindness. Goodness. Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell about how I spent my time on this earth. Was it all about me? The things that I'm doing, the hopes and the dreams and the things I love and enjoy? Or am I living for my Lord, looking for opportunities to see where I can help him? May the Lord add his blessings to his words. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we just want to ask you to open our eyes, Father. Anoint them with salve that we might see opportunities to serve you, Father. We may give our lives to living for you, Father. Again, we just want to thank you. Help us see, Lord, the opportunities that are hidden, Father, because there's so many things around us that we've lost sight, that we're not even looking. We thank you, Lord. We just ask that you'd send forth laborers to your harvest. opportunities are here. In Jesus' name. Anyone have anything they'd like to add? Pure religion is this. James chapter 5. Brother shared a verse. Chapter 1. Jacobo, capítulo 1, versículo 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Bless you.